Good evening. I'm Steve Evans with News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Celeste Malloy currently represents Utah's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Iron and Washington County in southern Utah. Now, due to redistricting, Utah's 3rd District will now include southern Utah and the Uinta Basin. Joining us via phone line from Washington, D.C. in her official capacity is Congresswoman Celeste Malloy. Help us make sense out of all of this redistricting confusion. Many people here in northeastern Utah are really confused and are concerned that we won't have adequate representation in Congress. Could you address some of those concerns?
I would be happy to. It's been really confusing for a lot of people. So what happened is we had a ballot initiative in 2018 that created an independent redistricting commission. 2020, the legislature amended that. And so then two outside groups sued the state and said the legislature couldn't amend that. And the reason that matters now, 6 years later, is because that started this whole process that we've watched play out the last few months, where a judge threw out our congressional maps based on a technicality, and then the state drew new maps, and then the judge threw those out on a technicality, and she adopted a map that was drawn by the plaintiffs in that lawsuit.
And the plaintiffs, of course, were the Democratic Party or organizations supported by the Democratic Party. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the plaintiffs are Mormon Women for Ethical Government and the League of Women Voters, which are both left-leaning groups, yes.
What does the Mormon Church have to do with that?
Absolutely nothing. It's a name they chose for themselves, the group.
They give them credibility.
It is controversial that is the name.
Okay. Now, there's a Supreme Court case. What are the grounds of the Supreme Court case that you have filed, and what is the likelihood of a win from your perspective?
So I was part of a lawsuit with Burgess Owens and some county commissioners and sheriffs and mayors from all over the state, including Greg Miles from the Uinta Basin. We filed in federal court. We asked for a 3-judge panel because it's a constitutional question. We filed an appeal based on the elections clause. And the reason we filed is because this map that was selected by the judge and drawn by the plaintiffs hasn't had any input by our legislative branch in Utah, our state legislature, and it hasn't had any input by the people. So when the state legislature does districting, they draw maps, they do public hearings, they take input, and then just by virtue of the fact that they are elected officials, they have accountability to the public for how those maps turn out and how well people are represented. But when a plaintiff in a lawsuit draws a map, they don't have that same level of accountability and they're not taking input. So the people of Utah are now stuck with this map for who their representatives, you know, what territory their representatives cover, and they didn't have any input on that. And it's confusing to the voters, so that's what we based our lawsuit on. The 3-judge panel actually agreed with us on some of the substance, but said it's too close to the election for the federal government to weigh in and declined to overturn the maps. So that lawsuit is completed. I think we've exhausted all of our remedies, so we're running on the maps the way they are, which means, as you said in the opening, I was in the 2nd District. Well, I currently am in the 2nd District, which goes from St. George up to Farmington. But the new 3rd District I'm running in goes all the way across the bottom of the state from Beaver County all the way to the east, and then all the way up the east side. So now St. George and the Uinta Basin are in the same district, and that's where I'm running. And even though these are not the maps that anyone was hoping for, I am excited about running in this district. I've spent a lot of my adult life working on rural issues, even in the counties on the east side, including up in the basin. So even though I'm new to this area, the issues are not new to me. And I think we're all going to see that we understand each other very well. But it's going to take work on my part to make sure I'm out introducing myself to people who don't already know me and don't know that I have a background in energy and natural resources and rural issues.
Many will be concerned in rural Uinta and Duchesne counties that your new district will be neglected. What assurances can you give your potential constituents here in northeastern Utah that we won't be neglected, that we'll have adequate congressional representation?
Well, the easiest reassurance I can offer is look at the committees I'm on in Congress. I'm on the Appropriations Committee, which is where the purse strings are. That's where we make the funding decisions. But there are 12 Appropriations Subcommittees. I'm on 3 of them. The Legislative Branch Committee is one of them. That one, nobody really cares about if they work outside of the Beltway. It's like a hazing ritual for freshmen to put us on that subcommittee. But the other two are the Interior Subcommittee, and that's the one that has jurisdiction over all the public land and natural resources issues. And then I'm also on the Energy and Water Subcommittee, which has jurisdiction over the oil and gas and energy issues that I know are really important in the basin, and water issues that I know are really important in the basin. And so if you're trying to figure out where my priorities are, I think that tells you a lot. I'm also on the Natural Resources Committee, which is the authorizing committee for all of those same issues. And I was recently elected to be chair of the Western Caucus, which does the policy work on all of those same issues. So it's a almost complete overlap of the things I'm doing and what matters in rural areas, in energy producing areas, in agriculture areas.
The UNF Basin Farm Bureau wanted me to ask you about the Colorado River Compact renewal and water battles here in the West, with an emphasis on keeping water in the basin. What thoughts can you give us where Flaming Gorge will now be part of your district?
So I've spent a lot of time on those issues. In fact, for a period of time, when I was practicing law in Southern Utah, I worked for the Washington County Water Conservancy District doing permitting for the Lake Powell Pipeline, which, you know, as I'm sure most of you know, is one of Utah's ways of trying to make sure we're using our Colorado River water. And I spent a lot of time on the law of the river and water law in a way most people haven't. As you know, the states have been negotiating the protocols for the Colorado River, and those negotiations are not going well, and they've passed the deadline now. I've spent a lot of time talking about how water is a state issue, and Congress needs to stay out of it, partly because there are 7 states in the Colorado River Basin, and California is one of those 7 states, and they have more members of Congress than the other 6 states combined. So if it comes to a battle between the states in the Colorado River Basin in Congress, California will win.
Right.
And I don't think that'll be good for any of the other 6 states. So we've left it to the states to negotiate. They're not getting to an agreement. And if Congress needs to get involved, that's when it really matters to have representatives on the committees I am on. That's when being on the appropriating and authorizing committees that deal with water start to really matter, to make sure that we can protect Utah's interests, working to make sure that Utah can protect its own water and isn't getting beat up by the neighboring states. But I've also been working with some of my colleagues from California on looking at a future where, if Congress gets involved in Colorado River negotiations, we find solutions that are good for everybody, that aren't just California taking the water from the other 6 states that are upstream from them. And I have some level of optimism that we can get to a place where Utah's water future is secure.
What about pumping it out of utilizing our allotment through the Green River and pumping that out of the Green River? For example, there's an effort underway to put a pump station in Jensen, which is a community bordering the Green River, and using that for both culinary use in that community and also irrigation. If we needed federal funding or support from that, would that be a project that you would support?
Yeah, those are the kind of things I can definitely work on. When it comes to Colorado River negotiations, that's sort of the secondary question. The first question is, can we reach some sort of agreement on how the river will be managed? And then once we have that, then the secondary question is, how does Utah make sure that we're using the water we have in the best way we can? And a lot of those kind of projects need federal funding and sometimes even federal authorizations. And I can be helpful with those kind of things from the position I'm in. And I do have some familiarity with those issues. I spent the first 12 years of my professional life, 2 of them when I was in college, 10 of them after that, working for the Natural Resources Conservation Service. I was in Beaver, but because Eastern Utah gets so much of the Colorado River salinity money, they used me sort of like a utility player, where when I would get my contracts done in Beaver, I would go to the basin or to Emory County or somewhere on the east side of the state and help do contracts there. So I've spent quite a bit of time driving around working with farmers in the basin. It's been a few years now.
Okay. Public lands background, your experience with Congressman Chris Stewart, and also you are an attorney, as I understand, with a background in public lands. What kind of threats to multiple use access to our public lands are we under? For example, Emory County now has new limited access that was just dumped on them, and I'm not sure what the process was on that. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I am familiar with that. That's one of the things I'm already spending a lot of time on. This is why I say I may be new to some of these counties, but I'm not new to the issues they're facing. I've worked on a handful of Congressional Review Acts over the last year. So a Congressional Review Act is a tool we have in Congress where we can go overturn an administrative rule. And usually we use them at the end of an administration when the White House has changed hands, and that's what's happened this time. And so we're going through, and the first one I passed was a CRA on the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area to make sure they couldn't close some roads that they tried to administratively close. I've got one on the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument that's brand new to try to make sure we keep access open there. Having access to our land is a really big issue in Utah. The majority of our land is managed by the federal government. We have to be able to have the ability to go out and enjoy the land that is in our backyard. It can't just be locked up and put under glass. So I spent a lot of time working on access issues, making sure that Utahns can enjoy the resources we have in Utah.
You win a railway. You're familiar with the Supreme Court ruling in favor of the railway. Requires the project through the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition to go through the re-permitting process. That's Surface Transportation District, which I believe they're waiting on a decision right now. The Forest Service, et cetera, permitting. Would this be something that you could step in as our congressional representative to help us with that if needed?
Yeah. So one of my jobs as a representative in Congress is to know and work with the local elected officials, the county and city elected officials, and even the state legislature, and make sure that whenever there's a federal impediment to what they're trying to do that's good for the people in Utah, that I'm helping remove those federal barriers. And I have a history of doing that already. I worked for the Utah Association of Counties as a public lands attorney, and so I know a lot of the county elected officials. And we have a long history of working together on identifying these barriers like you just talked about with the Uinta Basin Railway. I know that's not what they're calling it now. And I mean, that's what the whole Supreme Court decision was about. The court, thankfully, said that the agencies don't have to evaluate every tangential, possibly but not necessarily related impact of a project. And that case has already been cited like 700 times in other cases. Everyone across the country knows about this case from the Uinta Basin in Utah because it really changed the way the federal government is interacting with projects. And that's part of my job, is to make sure we're moving in that direction and that we're reinforcing what the Supreme Court did there and making the federal government be a good neighbor and a good partner on these projects.
All right, Celeste Malloy. A comment on the SAVE Act. That's before Congress right now. Are you voting to support the SAVE Act, or have you voted to support the SAVE Act? And what are the chances of getting it through the Senate?
Yeah, so I voted for the SAVE Act, and then I voted for the SAVE America Act. We've passed both of them out of the House. We're just waiting on the Senate. If you wanted me to put odds on it right now, I wouldn't dare. I know the president said that he's not taking up anything else from the Senate until they pass it. We have a lot of members in the House who are not taking anything from the Senate until we pass it. In fact, I voted against the Senate bill this week because if they're going to sit on all of the things we're sending them that are good for America, we shouldn't be helping them out with other things that are less important. I think there's a lot of support for it nationwide, and if you're a senator, that is really hard to ignore. And so I'm hopeful that we can get it done.
The SAVE Act, could you explain it really quickly, what that means to those who might not know regarding elections fraud?
Yeah, so the SAVE America Act, which is the latest version of it, requires that somebody establish that they're a U.S. citizen in order to register to vote, so that we know that only U.S. citizens are registered. And then when you go to vote, you would show ID so we know that the person who is voting is the person who has proved that they are a U.S. citizen. And so what it does is make sure that U.S. citizens are the ones voting in U.S. elections. And that is the law. Some opponents of this like to say, well, it's already illegal for illegals to vote. is true. But if you can't prove it one way or another,
they're doing
it's pretty hard to ensure that that's what's happening. So we're just making sure that the elections are happening the way they should be happening.
We've been visiting with Celeste Malloy, who currently represents Utah's congressional district, which includes southern Utah, all the way up the other side of the state on the western side. Any final thoughts?
My final thought is that, you know, we talk a lot in Utah about urban issues, rural issues, north, south, east, west, but we're not a big enough state to really split everything apart like that. Anything that impacts Utah impacts all of Utah. And so for anybody who's feeling confused about boundary changes and who's running where, I just want to remind all of them that we as a delegation work really well together to make sure we're doing what's best for Utah. We're on different committees, we have different strengths, and we try to bring all of that together to make sure we are as impactful and powerful as we can be on behalf of all of the people in Utah. So don't get panicky or worried about what the district boundaries look like. We're going to take care of the state as a whole.
Congresswoman Celeste Malloy, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I know how busy you've been today. Congresswoman Celeste Malloy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you.
I'm Steve Evans with News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Thanks for joining us.